it also kind of builds it out to where not just you as the leader of SPD is filling this document out, but it also your leader, the one who is above that sterile processing manager who's responsible for them, it kind of built it to where they are also sitting down with them and filling that tool out as well and making sure that they are making those connections in the hospital.
Rising above the buzz of ultrasonic cleaners and the clanking of stainless steel are the ideas and voices that are changing an industry. You're listening to the Beyond Clean podcast, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are improving our sterile processing world. Each week, we speak with frontline technicians, CEOs, engineers, and entrepreneurs with a common goal: to help you fight dirty every instrument, every time. Whether you're tuning in for education or inspiration, we're glad you did. Now turn on those washers and turn up the volume. It's time to go beyond clean.
All right, clean freaks, guess what time it is? We are kicking off a brand new season of the Beyond Clean podcast, and boy, it is good to be back. This is season 33, Built Different. All about training, competencies, and education in the sterile processing department. So if you are ready to take your department's training and education and competency programs to the next level, this season is going to be just right for you. I'm your host, Bobby Parker. And to kick off this season 33, we're going to start at the level of leadership development. It is my opinion, and also those of the guests that we're bringing on for this episode, that that department quality really does start at the top. And so if we're going to have excellent programs for onboarding new technicians, for developing and educating, for having compliant competency programs, we really need to have effective leadership. And so we're going to be taking a look at leadership competencies, leadership soft skills, leadership development, leadership onboarding. And we've got the right guests to cover those topics today. We're bringing in Jason Minutillo, who you may know from previous episodes of the Beyond Clean podcast. He's been out in Colorado for some time doing sterile processing leadership. And so in his new role at Common Spirit, we're excited to have him to talk with us, as well as the manager that works alongside him, Connie Clas Vallejo, as we talk with these two about what they're doing in a kind of unique and exciting role for Common Spirit, developing some leadership programs and program management for the sterile processing departments out there. So stick with us. We're going to take a brief break, and then we'll be right back with Jason and Connie to talk about leadership development in the SPD.
If you manage device disinfection in your department, you know compliance, efficiency, and savings are non-negotiable. That's where Astra comes in. Astra is the automated ultrasound probe reprocessor designed to support a fast, compliant disinfection workflow at an affordable price. With automated data logging, consumable tracking, and easy-to-follow prompts, Astra helps support compliance with the Joint Commission standards without adding complexity to your workflow. Astra disinfects up to two probes at once with a 16-minute total reprocessing time, helping departments support consistent, repeatable reprocessing practices. Integration is designed to work with leakage testing systems and enables electronic logging of results, so documentation is captured as part of each cycle. See why healthcare facilities choose Astra and visit civco.com/Astra for a custom quote today. That's civco.com/ASTRA. Did you know that AMI Standard 58 for chemical sterilization and high-level disinfection was updated last year? When was the last time you reviewed these standards for compliance in your sterile processing department? At ChemDAC, we believe that compliance isn't just a checkbox. It's critical for team safety. That's why we partner with hundreds of hospitals across the country for continuous real-time monitoring of peracetic acid, hydrogen peroxide, and ethylene oxide, giving sterile processing leaders the data and tools that they need to protect their teams. Across departments of all sizes and functions, ChemDAC is the trusted partner hospitals nationwide rely on for safety, compliance, and peace of mind. ChemDAC, safer workplaces, less risk, next level protection. Visit chemdac.com to learn more. That's chemdaq.com.
From the studios of Healthcare HQ, you're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
And joining us now in studio is Jason Minutillo, Regional Director of Sterile Processing and High-Level Disinfection for Common Spirit out in the Mountain Region, and Concepcion Class Viejo, Regional Manager of Sterile Processing for Common Spirit Mountain Region, joining us here in studio to talk about leadership development. Jason, Connie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Bobby. Super excited to talk with you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be a fun episode, you guys. We're kicking off a brand new season about training sterile processing technicians. And as we've gotten connected and talked about training programs in SPD, I know that both of you are really passionate about developing leaders. And what better way to talk about training programs than to kick it off talking about training leaders, because the leadership structure really does guide how training happens in the rest of the department. But before we get into training programs today, why don't you all introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing in the sterile processing and kind of the fun dynamic we have today, because it sounds like both of you work for the same region of the same health system. So we have a little bit of a leader dynamic on the air going on here today. So Jason, I'll let you go first.
Absolutely. So my name's Jason Minutillo, been in the industry for 23 years, started out as a baby tech while I was going to school for pre-med, and from there went through all of the iterations of leadership all the way up to where I currently sit. I also sit on some of the AMI working groups for the AMI standards, specifically 79, 58, and 91. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, welcome, Jason. And Connie, you want to introduce yourself and feel free to make any edits or corrections to my attempt at the name pronunciation earlier. I asked before we hit the red light. I'm still not sure I got it quite right.
You did fantastic.
Okay,
I'll throw my little Spanish flair in there. So it's Concepcion Class Vallejo, but I do go by Connie. So I started my career more than 25 years ago in the Army. And in the Army, I worked as both a surgical technician and sterile processing technician. And so through those experiences, both stateside and deployed, it really developed my passion for this industry. And also my leadership style was really built in the military as well. So after I retired in 2023, I continued my journey in healthcare leadership, where I'm able to still explore my passion in growing people and developing strong, good cultures amongst the teams. So,
yeah, well, welcome. Very cool story, by the way. I love talking with folks who their background in sterile processing started in the OR and the military, kind of that old school mindset of doing both and knowing both sides of it. That's not the topic of the conversation today, but I imagine that has served you very well in your role, being able to relate well to the OR and be able to speak both languages of what goes on in the OR, how instruments are used, and how processing happens in sterile processing. Definitely a big weakness of mine that I always wished that I had that background to be able to use. So how did you two get to know each other? How long have you been working together, Jason and Connie?
We've been together for about 3 years, starting of 4. I had the pleasure of actually having her as my manager at one of my sites when I was an operational director for the mountain region, and immediately just fell in love with her style. Again, to your point, she has both languages. And so having her walk through, talk through, you know, the dichotomy of us is the probably the cool thing. I'm very technically sound. She's more of the leadership development, culture development, but that's why we complement each other very well. What do you think, Connie?
Yes, I completely agree. And I will say, even though Jason did not serve in the military, his mindset is very much structured that way. And I think that's why we blended so well right from the start. You know, I knew his expectations and, you know, upfront and his values and beliefs, and he knew mine. And so, yeah, so together we just made a very, very strong team.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, before we keep rolling, let's color in just a little bit more of that working dynamic before we dive into leadership development. So we've got regional program director of SPD and regional manager of SPD for a mountain region at Common Spirit. Like, what does that look like? Like, how many hospitals are we talking about? Like, what's the leadership dynamic there?
That's a great question, Kamagi. So what I'll tell you is we have oversight over three states, Colorado, Utah, and Kansas. We have 20 sites, 18 of them are doing sterile processing operations. And in terms of the dynamic, we actually have a very unique reporting structure. We do not report through operations. We actually report through quality and regulatory. And so we actually are kind of a regulatory arm to ensure that SPD operations are in alignment with regulatory and quality processes. So we established the quality program. But in turn, because of our background in operations, both of us, we do get pulled into operational discussions and decisions. You know, establishing preceptors, establishing leaders. We help onboard some of those leaders. They don't report to us, but they do get to come and visit with us and understand what we're expecting to see, again, from a program perspective, which then translates into operations. What do you think, Connie? Anything to add?
No, I think you hit it on the nose. Like, we, you know, we support them. Yes, we build quality programs and standardize where we can amongst the region. But we also dive into the development of leaders and teams. And we do that through some of the tools that we use and also some of the meetings that we hold.
Yeah, it's a real important part of the quality program. You know, go figure, you get better outcomes when you have well-trained technicians and organized processes for orientation and all that kind of stuff. So
funny, that's how our leadership thought as well.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. All right, you guys. Well, as we're getting into this, having talked with both of you, I know that you're both very passionate about not only technician development, but also leadership development and making sure that sterile processing leaders have a good onboarding experience and grow into that role well, instead of, hey, you were a good tech, how about we promote you to be a leader and you go figure out how to do that? I'm curious, what has been your journey into leadership and sterile processing? And what was that experience like for you as you got kind of that first leadership role in SPD?
I'll kick it off, Connie, because I think it's, again, a very interesting dynamic in terms of how we were both onboarded into leadership. And that's where I think, again, that's where our strengths play in. So having not really gotten any experience or any really limited leadership onboarding until I was probably 9 years into SPD, that's when I actually was taken under the wing by a mentor of mine and then followed up by another mentor in the OR. And then from there, I learned the vision of mentorship through a couple other opportunities as well. That's very unique. Like I said, I had 9 years where it was sink or swim and just go. Whereas Connie actually had a leadership development and process, and that's what she kind of pulls on. And it's pretty cool because that's where we can go, what works for you, what doesn't work for me, and what doesn't work for leaders coming in, right? So our goal is never to leave a leader out there, out in the open, exposed without having had at least some conversation beforehand. And I'll let Connie speak to what she sets up. So go for it, Connie.
So I have a very strong foundation from the military. With leadership, the military does a great job at giving you a structured approach and growing leaders. You know, you get regular feedback, you get mentorship, and then as you progress into higher responsibilities and higher roles, you go to formal training. Usually they're about 30 days long. If it's at the highest level, it's a year-long training that you're receiving. And they're laying out your expectations, the expectations that they have on you as a leader. My background into leadership training looks a little bit different. So the military is very structured in their approach to developing leaders. They, you know, give you regular feedback and mentorship. So every month you're meeting with your leader and getting that formal feedback, the good and the bad. And then as you move up into roles, you know, higher roles, higher responsibilities, you are going and attending formal schools that are teaching you the expectations of a leader. How do you, you know, how they expect you to mentor soldiers under you, and how do they expect you to manage your responsibilities under you? So that foundation is really important. So though I've had experiences where I went into organizations and kind of it was a sink or swim approach, that foundation really gives you a solid ground to stand on and to know, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do, and I know I have already developed a lot of my leadership skills. So, and from there, you know, it's just learning the organization and their expectations and values.
Yeah. No, that's super cool to hear. And I imagine having that structure and both some good experiences and some bad ones has helped in kind of, you know, today's role and figuring out for a region, how do we help leaders succeed? So how much of that have you brought into development programs to help onboard leaders at your health network across the IDN to help them be successful in their first year?
I brought a lot of it, you know, in the sense of really giving a structured tool to leaders to follow. You know, when you first come into an organization, you really don't know what you don't know. So who are my partners that I'm supposed to develop relationships with? Who are my support? Who's the support that I will need to really make sure that my department is running smoothly? And, you know, what resources do I have at my hand, and what programs am I supposed to know to really be able to do my job correctly? So we've developed a tool where it lists out those contacts that you really need to make, where you're supposed to sit down and have a meeting and develop a relationship, like with IP, infection prevention, like your patient safety manager. And then it also kind of builds it out to where not just you as the leader of SPD is filling this document out, but it also your leader, the one who is above that sterile processing manager who's responsible for them, it kind of built it to where they are also sitting down with them and filling that tool out as well, and making sure that they are making those connections in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. That matrixed support is really important. I remember the director that hired me for my first manager job made it one of my job requirements to write a handwritten note of appreciation to all the operational leaders that I worked with, the IP director, the OR manager, the facilities manager, to find something specific that we had done together or that they had taken care of. And I had to write them a handwritten card and have it delivered through the interdepartmental mail, which I thought was kind of a silly thing. But that, like, that initial cultural impact that made in building that relationship was really powerful. And so, yeah, having some structured leadership direction, even in just relationship building, yeah, it's really wise.
I was just going to chime in and say that's kind of the approach with this, right? Is it takes a village to run an SPD department. It's not just the leader, it's the frontline staff, and then it's all the adjacent leaders and departments that we touch. Right. So, and that's where Connie went ahead and actually pulled in with, you know, guidance and direction of, like, we need to actually make sure that, again, onboarding within the first 90 days, you've established some key contacts within your facility very, very quickly. But we also make sure that your leadership above that that person that's coming in is also aware of that. And we do it by a combination meeting. So that, hey, you now have 90 days, and more importantly, you have 90 days with 30-day check-ins to actually make sure, hey, are we on track? Are we moving in the right direction? Do we have all the access points that we need to all the programs we need? And it just, again, creates that transparency and sets the expectations up on the front end versus, you know, you've been in the role for 6 months and you don't know what the expectations are, or you're finding them out on the fly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, this next question is not going to be fair to ask in a podcast that's supposed to end in, 25 minutes or so, in total be that long. So leadership success includes a lot of things. It's, matrix networking, like we talked about. It's also operational skills, which we've touched on. It's also a lot of soft skills and being able to lead people well. Are there anything in those operational buckets or soft skills buckets that you all are doing to try to onboard leaders to succeed? Like, what kinds of things do they need in order to be successful with soft skills and operational skills?
I'll speak to it a little bit, but it's really about a mindset shift. And then I'll let Connie really dive into it, because we're actually in the middle of a program putting that together for our region. But really, I mean, again, you kind of alluded at the beginning of this conversation of, you're really good at what you do. You're a really good tech. You're now the leader. That's not going to suffice, and that's not going to set up anybody for success. So it's really making sure that, one, you establish those soft skills, right? Communication, loop closure, all that. But additionally, it's that mindset, right? Establishing that mindset of, okay, SPD is an arm of quality. It's an arm of infection prevention. It's an arm of regulatory compliance. And we need to be protecting our patient. So we start out with the why. Why are you here? You're not here to serve one department. You're not here to serve one facility. You're here to serve a patient. And that patient is at the most risk at this moment in time coming in because of surgery, whether that's an emergent procedure, whatever the case may be. But you're the advocate for a person who cannot talk for themselves. So you need to be able to stand tall and hold the line, right? We tell people and brand new leaders, like, look, you're the expert in sterile processing. How many people are the expert outside of sterile processing? Not many. There's very few that are, they might be adjacent, have some OR background and they have some touch points within the SPD department. But truly, you're the expert. You were hired into this role because you know SPD, and you also now have the resources at your fingertips between our regional manager, Connie, the regional director, and myself. But also you also have the educator, our regional educator, as well as a support network. And so we would rather get a 411 call versus a 911 call. Give me a holler. Let's talk through what you're thinking about doing before you go about doing it. And so it's a constant touch point. And that's where Connie kind of, again, we're establishing a little bit of a program, but then Connie also stood up a steering committee. So Connie, I'll let you talk about the program you're kind of developing. It's still, we'll say, not live. It's in our process. But then the steering committee has been absolutely instrumental.
Yes. So, like we've been talking about this episode, it's technical skills are so important, but people skills and leadership skills really determine whether your team thrives. And so through that steering committee, leaders, I would say, feel more comfortable, to voice concerns, to voice issues that might be coming at their local sites. And then we're really building a community amongst the SPD leaders across our region, to where now in that steering committee, it's not just advice or direction coming from myself or Jason, but it's also coming from the other leaders who are living that every day, who are in the operational role, just like that leader who might have challenges occurring. And so really, that community it's a community-based approach for our steering committee. And as Jason has been talking about, the mindset is so important. And that's something also that is developed, and it's developed through coaching and mentoring. And so with that steering committee, we really are mentoring, but all together.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that mindset gets the opportunity to be developed through mentoring and coaching. It will be developed one way or the other, whether through pain and mistakes or through mentoring and coaching. I had a little bit more of the former.
Same, Bobby.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Well, I want to make sure as we're, you know, drawing this episode to a close to talk a little bit about documentation and competency. So as organizations just, you know, across the industry are trying to get their arms around this and figure out, you know, how do we orient leaders well? How do we set them up for success? There's also a question of ongoing maintenance. Like, what kind of training do we need our leaders to go through on an annual basis? We have annual competencies that we have for our technicians. Are there any competencies that are required for the leaders? And if so, who fills those out? How do you all handle those questions? What kind of documentation do you need for your leadership?
Great question, Bobby. I'll kind of field it and then kind of talk through. First of all, it's about the onboarding process, right? Again, that's what we're establishing first. Set the expectations on the front end. Be transparent about what those expectations are so that here's what we're going with. Now, we do have annual competencies. Our leaders are expected to do the skill set, skill-based competencies. So, you know, the normal assembly, decontamination, sterilization, storage, and so on, right? But from there, we do, we'll say, more of that mentoring and on a continuous growth through our steering committee. So a couple of months ago, we actually did crucial conversations and we actually, you know, broke out that book and talked through and we pulled direct examples from leaders in the region, asking them to give their example, how they handle it and how they go about improving it, right? So that people could learn directly. We'll continue doing that process with, you know, every other month or two, we'll go ahead and pull another soft skill, you know, communicating effectively. You know, we'll talk about positional leadership versus, you know, we'll say, I just blanked, positional leadership versus, say, organizational leadership or permission-based leadership, and then so on. So we do a lot of reading programs amongst ourselves, but we also will encourage and start inviting our leaders within the region into some of those programs. You know, I have probably a library of hundreds of books around leadership development, but then we can actually talk through and how to implement and apply. What do you think, Connie?
I think around competencies as well, one way that we started to make sure leaders are taking ownership of not just going through and doing the skills, you know, of the competencies and demonstrating them, but how do we really get them to own it? And so one thing that we did do is establish some protocols that are needed within your departments. And we walked them through on how to write a protocol. We went through and read every protocol that they submitted and gave feedback on it. But that really kind of, I would say, forced the needle forward in that ownership of that leader with their department and with their team to go and walk those processes. And Where do you see some fallout? How can you make it a stronger process for your team? And ultimately, it's a safer process for our patients. So that's one thing that we did with around the competencies to really have ownership amongst those leaders. So that way, too, when they go and they do their competencies, they're also making sure that they're walking their process that they put in place and that it's still valid, still right. Good.
Yeah. How many times have we cracked open the dusty policy binder and like it names products in there we don't use and processes that, you know, we retired 7 years ago. So yeah, that's really important. So as I'm listening to you all talk, I imagine that there's quite a few leaders out there who maybe are new to sterile processing and wished that they were in a matrixed environment with that kind of support and oversight. Do you have any advice for those new leaders about the types of training and equipping they ought to be seeking for themselves? And should they be pursuing any kind of formal competency documentation, either for themselves or for the supervisors in kind of little rural, middle of nowhere, you know, community access hospital?
Well, I would say that's a great question. And ultimately, I mean, it goes back to Are you a self-starter? Are you a self-learner? Obviously, you got picked as a leader for a reason. That means you probably saw something in you to go ahead and actually develop. And so now it's your job to develop yourself. I encourage anybody to create their own reading program. There are thousands upon thousands of books about self-improvement and leadership development. One of my favorite authors is John Maxwell. I love reading some of his books. I know you know who that is, Bobby. And then I have other books around, you know, Og Mandino and a couple others out there. But truly, like, find those books that are going to help you develop, you know, how to communicate more effectively, how to create a structure for, you know, making mistakes and allowing your frontline to make mistakes in a safe environment. Creating that we call it a highly reliable organization, right? Allowing them to be able to speak up and being able to take feedback from your front line. That takes a lot of courage to be able to say, hey, maybe my front line knows better than I do. Now, again, those are all, let's say, soft skills, but I encourage anybody to start with, like I said, a reading program. Find a leader in the organization that you're in that you aspire to be and ask them the question, what books do you read? What books have you established that help you improve your leadership? And that's how I started. Once I got into a really good, mentorship with a person that, you know, took me under his wing, I asked him, what did you read? How did you get better at talking to people? How did you communicate more effectively? So on. So that would be kind of the soft pieces. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, again, start, even if you're in rural America, you single hospital by yourself, there are plenty of organizations, HSPA chapters, Beyond Clean. Take a listen and ask those questions and connect with those people that are on these calls, through LinkedIn or through whatever, because ultimately they want to help. I mean, I know that's how I picked up a lot of information is I connected with the right people in the AMI network, right? How do I get better at reading standards? I went and found the people who wrote the standards, right? And then I mentored with them. So what are your thoughts, Connie?
Well, you took most of my thoughts. Like, LinkedIn is a fantastic, fantastic resource for us sterile processing professionals. There's a lot of leaders on there. And, you know, we are just a message away. You can just reach out, ask a question, you know, but you have to be brave enough to ask, and you should know that it's actually stronger to know that you don't know everything and that you need a leader or a mentor to guide you, to develop you, because what you don't know, you don't know. And so to have that person and those resources, you know, in your back pocket to help you through, to answer those questions, to give you guidance on how to find the answer, you know, or just to give you constructive feedback on how you handled a conversation with a team member that's under you. All of that helps you grow. But the first step is to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And, we're right at the end of time here. I'll add one more thought is, that you don't have to wait for that first leadership title to do those activities, you know, in some sense, every day is an interview. So showing that kind of interest in development and growth and effort and being a self-starter really does put you in a position to be able to excel in your career. And so, yeah, get to know some of those leaders and start reading those books and working on those soft skills today. Cause it will pay dividends later when you need it and you're not starting from the beginning. Jason, Connie, thanks so much for sharing your insights. We've got a lot more episodes we could do diving into those topics and learning from your expertise. So maybe we'll do that again another time, but thanks for giving us this introduction today.
Appreciate the time, Bobby. And thanks for allowing us to come on. Connie, it's been a pleasure co-hosting with you in that sense as well, because awesome. It's great to see you move forward.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. It's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll encourage you here at the close of the show to get connected with Jason and Connie out on LinkedIn. You can find their names and contact information in the session description below or wherever you get your podcast from. But Jason, Connie, we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining the show.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thank you.
And That was Jason Minutillo and Concepcion Class Vallejo. You'll have to let me know. Let me know how I did. We talked pronunciations before the show got started, and Jason said it's Minutillo like armadillo, and I just gave my best efforts with Connie. I was thankful for being gracious with us. But what a cool episode to talk through leadership development here as we're beginning the process of talking through technician development and how to build a team of educated and bought in technicians who produce quality. One of the things that I thought was really cool about this interview in particular was the reporting structure. As you know, Jason and Connie mentioned, the way that part of the organization is reporting up to them and them into quality. I'm curious how many of the rest of you have your sterile processing leadership tree tie up to quality in some way, maybe an SPD department that that reports directly to infection prevention or to somebody in the C-suite over quality and risk. I think that would be an interesting dynamic and in how it might shift the priorities. You know, everybody has their operational needs and operational concerns and budget concerns and measuring productivity and all those things still need to happen. But reporting up to a quality department or to an infection prevention team might help shift some of the priorities of, you know, of sterile processing's primary goal being quality related and outcome related and a little bit less operational in focus. I don't know. I think it may... it may be interesting to see what that, you know, what that shift in dynamic would be like. If that's you out there and you want to connect with us on LinkedIn or send us an email, our email's at info@beyondcleanmedia.com. We'd love to continue that conversation with you and maybe write a blog about it or have you on the air to talk through, you know, the merits and value of reporting up through the quality department. I hope this episode has been helpful to you. The question that we talked about there at the end about the documentation piece of leadership development is important. Every facility that I've been in makes a very big deal about documenting orientation and annual competencies for technicians, but the documentation for the leader is really absent in many cases. And so having a clear plan of what development and success looks like for a leader and then having a competency tied to that, I think would be really valuable. Now, the question of who fills out that competency is one that we didn't get to. You know, if you're the only manager in the place, does the president of the hospital fill it out? Do you have a vendor come fill it out? Do you fill it out for yourself? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of answers to that. There's only one person out there who's going to get this, but there was a SpongeBob episode many years ago about mailmen asking, you know, who delivers the mail to the mailman? Is there a never ending string of mailmen delivering mail to other mailmen? Anyway, we're way off track here, but it is important to have documentation for your leadership and think carefully about leadership development. And that really is a good foundation, not only for this season, but for your department. If you want to have well-trained technicians, having a good leadership development process in place to have well-trained leaders, really important. Well, I'm looking forward to the rest of this season with you all. We have had for the last few seasons a guest co-host for the season. So joining me next episode for the remainder of the season on this side of the microphone is going to be one of our guests from this episode. Jason Minutillo will be back next week with me as co-host as we go through the rest of this season called Built Different as we look at technician training programs and education to help improve quality in sterile processing. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. But until we see you then, we'll remind you, as we always do here on Beyond Clean, keep fighting dirty. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Beyond Clean. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on your favorite podcast app or by downloading the smartphone app on iPhone or Android. Simply search for Beyond Clean in the App Store or Google Play. The best thing about downloading the smartphone app is that you can access bonus content for certain episodes and view episodes in certain categories, like articles on the go and vendor spotlights. Are you following us on LinkedIn or Facebook yet? If you are and you love an episode or post, then let your social network know about it. Like, comment, or share our posts along with your thoughts and keep the conversation going. If you have any topics or guests that you would like to recommend for a future episode, just send us an email to info@beyondclean.net. We look forward to hearing from you.